Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the What Culture Game podcast. I'm Josh, joined today by Benroy Turner. Hello, Benroy.
Hello, and good Monday to you all.
How are you doing, man? We're like halfway through E3, I guess. We've got tonight and tomorrow to go, but we've already had some pretty big hitters, including the Microsoft conference. We've had Square Enix. We've had Ubisoft. We've had Jeff Keighley's Summer Game Fest as well, the kickoff event for that. So we've got so much news and so many new games to talk about. And I'm actually kind of surprised at how many there are. You know, E3 is always no slouch. But for me, at least personally, I thought Microsoft's in particular has kind of like saved the whole thing. I was kind of iffy about Ubisoft. There were a few interesting things from Square Enix, but for me, Microsoft is what made it feel like E3. And that's, I think, what we're going to talk most about today. But how are you finding it, Benroy? Because obviously we didn't have an E3 last year, and now it's kind of come back swinging, I guess.
Well, it's weird because I wasn't looking forward to it until it was happening, because I wasn't going to watch the Summer Games Fest. And then I decided, you know what, I'm going to watch it. And I was rewarded for it at the beginning. And in the middle, that sort of just the show went a bit too long and the pie I had eaten took over and I fell asleep for like, say, 10 minutes or so. But like, it was a good way to kick off the show in the end, like saying that. Get Kojima talking about 9/11. Let's just love a bit of that stuff going on. And then with the Ubisoft, we finally got dates for these games that have been lingering in sort of like limbo for however many thousand years it's been now. And the Microsoft one, as you said, just big old Phil and Todd Howard just came out there with a big mallet and like, we've won. And just
they more or less did. I mean, crushed it. You know, I was like you, even though obviously I'm usually a huge fan of E3, with the entire year that we've had, with how kind of like last minute a lot of this stuff had felt, I didn't properly get excited until I was watching the conference. And I watched the Microsoft one a little bit later because I was watching the football at first and I was outside.
It came home very
briefly, and it will come home again. Yes, I avoided Twitter, jumped on Microsoft, their conference, with like very little expectations. And then by the end of it, I'm convinced to get an Xbox Series X. Like, that's how good I think it is. The way they've pushed Game Pass, the way they've announced all of these exclusives, the way that they've re-announced some games. Like, I am totally in the hype camp now. And the first thing I did this morning and last night was check to see if there was any Xbox Series X's in stock, which of course there are not. And I don't want to get an S. I don't want to like admit defeat and get an S, even though that is a good machine.
I'm putting a pin in now. Getting an S is not admit defeat. It still does 4K, it still does HDR. It's a lovely little machine. Like, I don't know. Like, if you want to be all your, I want my Series X and that's it, then it's fine. But like, the S, anyone out there, get an S for your kid, get him on Game Pass. You don't need discs, snap all your discs, you're done.
Do not tell everyone to snap all their discs. I do not back that advice. I suppose we should jump into some of the games and start where Microsoft started, which was the grand re-unveiling of Starfield. They kicked off the show with this. Like you said, Todd Howard came out, talked about how this is the first, you know, new franchise that they've come up with in 25 years, how it's on a new engine, the Creation 2 engine, which is probably music to a lot of people's ears. The trailer itself, I'm not sure if you'll agree, but I found like the actual trailer, the actual look at the game, a little bit underwhelming. We didn't see much apart from, you know, a spaceship, a planet, someone taking off in an old-timey astronaut suit. But the fact that it's coming out officially on the 11th of the 11th, 2022, so essentially a year and a little bit away, the fact that it's confirmed to be an Xbox exclusive, like, all of that got me excited. And the way that Todd was talking about it got me excited, the fact that it's on a new engine, and I'm really looking forward to seeing a proper, you know, gameplay reveal of this title.
not only is it an Xbox exclusive, but it's going to be on Game Pass day one. So yes, if you're already on Game Pass, the Super Game Pass is like gold PC and thing is like a tenner all in. So, you know, you've got that already. But was it 11 years after Skyrim this as well? It feels like, even though Fallout 4 for what was bit, I feel like Fallout 4 was big. It felt like more of the same way. This is for their next big game, like 10 years later. I mean, I was in university when Skyrim came out, and now it's a whole different world out there. But I also am glad they confirmed it was an Xbox exclusive. I feel like Phil got a bit violent towards the end. He's like, yes, it's on Xbox. Sharp. Yeah. Xbox exclusive. Just sharp. It felt like this whole conference was like, sharp, it's on Xbox only. Okay. Anywhere that Game Pass is available, Jim, anywhere where Game Pass is available. So it felt like that. It's all like Dick's like, we're getting out of the way. But Starfield, for me, you've got to have a cinematic trailer for the first one, or sort of like, you know, a look and a feel of the universe. And I wasn't expecting, I mean, this thing's probably still on fire because they probably now got an extra couple of fire extinguishers courtesy of the buyout. So now they get, this game might have been secretly delayed a year or sort of put back because Bethesda's whole like life isn't resting on this one thing. Now they've got the financial backing from Microsoft, so I feel like they've been given as much breathing room as they sort of need. And I imagine we would see, like, let's get Halo out of the way, let's start like next year. I would like to see something before next E3 for this, maybe summer, not summer. What is the, I'm trying to think of Jeff Keighley's end of year, the Game Awards. Maybe we get a bit of gameplay at the end of the Game Awards. But at this point, would you be disappointed if it was if it was a copy and paste almost of Skyrim, Fallout and Outer Worlds?
It's a difficult one because, you know, I love the Bethesda model. I really like Fallout 4, although a lot of people were disappointed by that. So for me, if it was just Fallout 4 in space with a better engine, a more reliable engine without all of those bugs and glitches and stuff, like, for me, that would be fine. But I do recognize that they're no longer the pinnacle RPG makers in a lot of people's eyes. While CD Projekt Red might have completely fumbled it with Cyberpunk, you know, The Witcher 3 completely changed the game when it came to RPGs. You know, we've got, like you say, Obsidian making the Outer Worlds, the Outer Worlds 2. They've also got Avowed. They're also messing around in the same first-person RPG space. So I feel like with this next game, considering it has been so long, like you say, and it is a next-gen game, you know, built for the ground up for that new technology, I do want to see some pretty big leaps forward. I want to see some things completely, you know, overhauled and revolutionized, and I want to see a confident next step. And if that means they have to take this extra time to get it ready, like, I'm totally fine by that. I do agree with you, like, it obviously makes sense for them to show a cinematic trailer now and then obviously re-show some gameplay, maybe have a deeper dive at the end of the year going into next year. We're still a long ways out from this, and of course with games being this far away, there's always a chance that it might maybe get delayed as well. We should never put that off the cards. But overall, I was more convinced by the way they talked about it and the idea of Starfield rather than what we actually saw. But like I say, for this far out, that's completely fine, I think. And you did mention there, actually, Benroy, to quickly go back in time and steal this segue from 5 minutes ago. You mentioned Halo.
Yeah.
Halo had obviously another big re-unveiling this year. We got the fact that Halo's multiplayer is going to be free to play at the end of the year. And of course, Halo's campaign will be coming to Game Pass day one, like most of the games that they showed off. What did you think of Halo? Because I was actually quite pleasantly surprised. I thought it looked quite interesting, but I want to know what your thoughts are.
I was glad to have just certain lines of dialogue confirming that this wasn't a reboot. Like, I mean, I'm all here for soft reboots to get people back in, but if you just like wipe out canon or out of anywhere, so like, you know what Resident Evil 7 did, like, sort of like, it's still in the same timeline, but hey, you can step in here and there's all this lore around you. Like, I think that's the perfect way to do it, and just no one should ever wipe out their canon. Like, that for me, that would just make me incredibly more, like, incredibly less interested. I don't even know if that's a proper usage of the English language, but yeah, I wouldn't be so much in it. But I'm liking the mystery of it so far, and we've had that one trailer where that Dark Lord brute from Halo Wars 2 was sort of like shouting down the galaxy, and we still don't know what's going on with OG Cortana, because she's references the rogue AI. We don't know what's going on with her and how Master Chief is becoming more and more of a less of a just an action figure and wanted to do things like, now we're going to go and find her, instead of like hinting that the mission's going to change and breaking it. Like, we shouldn't ever like break Master Chief out of like the mold, I guess, and like take the helmet off and then give him a mohawk and stuff. You know what I mean? But like, give enough where Master Chief feels more like an organic being in certain respects. And I like that. And I like the look of the multiplayer as well. Like, multiplayer for Halo for me kind of died around the Reach time, because I was like, you know what, I'm just going to get sniped from 100 miles across the map. But and then they added running, and then they kept throwing things on, even though it seems like the grappling hook's here and you can grab guns off the floor, which looks brilliant, a great addition. Man cannons are back, and I like the idea of it feels like they're adding more into it, but distilling it down and bring it back to where it should be. Obviously, we don't know yet, but it's free for everyone, even if you're not on Game Pass. So that's a sign for me that there's going to be microtransactions out of the Halo. I'm going to say the Halo. And what do you think about that, it being free just for everyone already?
I mean, it being free, I think, is awesome. You know, there were rumors about this actually late last year, so I like the fact that this seems like it's the part of the experience that's been ready for the longest. I'm sure they have made improvements since it was delayed, but I feel like that's the thing that they've been confident about. So the fact that it's free is like a huge move. And, you know, it being alongside the campaign on, that's obviously coming to Game Pass, which, you know, isn't technically free, but a lot of people see it as like freebies or whatever. It's just like a completely different model to what the competition is doing. You know, you have this flagship franchise and it's like, look, we're splitting it into two parts. You can have the multiplayer aspect, which loads and loads of people like. That's just going to be free to play. Anyone can jump in who owns some kind of Microsoft machine. You've got the campaign, which you might want to buy, but you can also get it at free on Game Pass. It's just like splitting it up, but making it ultimately more accessible. And I love the fact that now you can just have a subscription, or even not, if you just have an Xbox Live subscription, you can get part of this experience. However, that does come with the caveat that you mentioned in terms of microtransactions and how they're going to support the game, because I did notice that when they announced that it was coming free to play, they specifically said the first season of Halo Infinite's multiplayer, which obviously makes it feel like they're going to do the Battle Pass gimmick, which I'm not entirely against, especially if it's free to play and it's done well. But obviously, you know, when any time you hear the terms Battle Pass or seasons or whatever, you potentially assume the worst. You potentially assume that it's going to be a piecemeal experience, but I'd hope they've learned from the competition and wouldn't do anything that nefarious to their biggest franchise.
And also, you're a Warzone kid, and Warzone has been going through an extended its life past the Call of Duties as well. And I was just thinking this about in terms of like Gears and things that I still play. Like, when you put 70 hours into a multiplayer and then you get a game used to get one like 2 years later, and then the whole slate was wiped clean. If they do a thing where this multiplayer will keep progressing and then your sort of status keeps progressing, then I'm more with that. And I feel like that's a good way of keeping, not breaking up the player bases anymore, sort of thing. And I'm also wondering at one point, like, how does this eventually, because everything eventually gets pulled into the Master Chief Collection. I don't know if this would ever affect the others there, or then maybe this launcher itself stays out of it. And like, when Halo Infinite eventually gets sucked into the Master Chief, it just stays in its own sort of like sphere. I don't know. But I like the idea of it being split out. And hey, if you've got to do a battle pass to do some stuff, then fair enough. I'm still doing the Gears 5 battle passes, and they've been free and they've been given decent stuff. And how many years away are we from Gears 5 when it came out? I feel like Gears 5 came out the first day I met you, and it's been ever since then about Gears 5. So what is the next game that you want to shout at me about?
The next game, I just want to quickly shout at you about, because I know you're a big fan and I'm looking forward to it, and so am I, but it's Back 4 Blood, which we've actually seen plenty of times before. We've known a lot about this game. We knew that it was coming out in October, but the big thing was that it was going to be a Game Pass exclusive, which, you know, is another huge win, because even though it's not necessarily an exclusive to an Xbox machine, I feel like so many people will just be more open to trying this, and it will mean that you can get your friends online much easier than convincing people to spend £60-70 on a copy, which I'm going to have to do, because none of my friends have an Xbox apart from you, Ben Roy. But I guess I'm going to have to get out the old Don box and then play it with you, I suppose.
God, the old Dom box. I was all up for this was going to be a game I would have purchased on PlayStation, but now I just can't because, like if those Bethesda games were coming to Xbox, I mean PlayStation, sorry, I wouldn't be paying for them when I could just play them on Game Pass. It just doesn't make financial sense. Like, I could put that money into, like, I don't know, getting some groceries for the week, shall we say. But yeah, Back 4 Blood, I love Left 4 Dead. Hundreds of hours in Left 4 Dead 1 and 2, did everything, all like the hardest, like just the punishing difficulties, just because back there, I don't know, maybe I was younger and had more time, but Left 4 Dead for me, shooting zombies, just the perfect mix. And it's weird that now that the Left 4 Dead team are returning with their own sort of Back 4 Blood, it's like, you know, the kid copying his friend's homework, like, okay, this is Back 4 Left 4 Dead, Back 4 Blood, how can we... Guys, this is us making it. And then we're going to get some other games that we'll talk about later on, but and also other games on the periphery that seem to all be now harping on that sort of style, which I'm fine with, because who doesn't love a good co-op sort of shooter where you just shoot hordes of things? But Back 4 Blood coming to Game Pass, when I feel like that's one of the bigger launches this year, I can't wait. I was sold on it already, and I'm just talking about how much I love zombies and shooting them. But yeah, I think this is going to be a good one.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. Like, the entire concept, I've been craving for a Left 4 Dead 3 for like 10 years or however long it's been since the second game.
Yeah.
And to know that it's the original devs coming back doing a spiritual successor. And from all accounts, you know, I've been trying my best to keep up with some of the, I think it's maybe the alpha or the beta that's been out so far. I know people have played it and it kind of like looks intriguing. I'm not sold on everything and I won't go into great detail on that in this video because it's going to be far too long, but you know, there are some things that I'm interested to see how it impacts the game, like the card system that they've got, how it's going to be supported in the long term. But at its core, Back 4 Blood's, you know, zombie killing co-op mayhem is entirely the thing I want out of this year. But yes, we know that exists, so I'll move on now to Contraband, which is the new game from the Just Cause developers at Avalanche, which is going to be a console exclusive. This is set in the 70s. It's apparently going to be some kind of open world heist game. We didn't get much apart from a cinematic trailer, but I don't know whether this was your thing at all, Ben Roy. It's something that, you know, I'm going to have my eye on. It didn't steal the show for me, but was still a very interesting thing for Microsoft to have to show to, you know, convince people to get an Xbox 4, I thought.
I mean, yeah, Game Pass, all that sort of thing. We don't know much about it yet, but anything that in that sort of vein is going to interest me. And again, you feel dumb for not trying it if you have an Xbox with Game Pass on, right? So, yeah. I mean, the cinematic trailer, I mean, a lot of the time I try to not be sort of like, it's a cinematic trailer. Like, I was, obviously, there's more interest in like a Starfield because it's been on the periphery for so long, but at the same time, I just hope this doesn't get confused with the Mark Wahlberg film, which is available to watch on Netflix now.
Very nice, very nice. Next, we actually have another look at a game that I also know that you're a big fan of. I feel like this was a good one for you, man. But this was Stalker 2, which has a new release date of 2022. We saw a first look at proper gameplay, and for me, like Stalker, like the original Stalker and all of its expansions and stuff, like that wasn't an experience I never touched because I didn't have a PC or anything like that. But it's a game that I've always kind of like been fascinated by and really kind of, yeah, just like sort of fascinated with the entire reputation that it has, with the people who enjoy it. So the fact that this is coming to a console, it's another reason for me to want to get an Xbox, you know? And so it's another reason for me to want to kind of like invest and see how this thing plays, because it looked visually like really stunning, I thought.
Stalker is a weird one because like Stalker came out at the end of my sort of like PC gaming run. My sort of run was from like 98 to about 2005, around about whenever the 360 came out. Then I was sort of like, well, I'm not going to buy another graphics card just for Excel and PowerPoint, so I'm done there. But yeah, Stalker, just like take just the atmosphere, the imagination of like Metro games and roll it into like kind of what Exodus was, but imagine Exodus but bigger and those sort of like hub worlds. And I just...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Man, anything about this sort of era in history, like the Chernobyl stuff, I'm crazy about. I went to Chernobyl, yeah. for God's sake. But also, yeah, just anything coming out of sort of like that part of the world. So I love games that come out from like any part of Europe where they just got a different flavor and feel to them, where we're so used to so that you don't get really like sort of brochures and things out there. And I just want to go around Chernobyl and have it sort of finally realized, because I feel like they weren't able to, they were able to go for sort of a scope back then with Stalker 1, but the power wasn't there as much. So I hope with this also being on Game Pass, they've got a sort of like their way into Phil Spencer's coin purse, and they can get a bit more coins out and like help them take their time a bit, and also make it the game they wanted the first one to be. As I say that, but the first one was a mega hit, or like with certain diehards, and I just, it's got big boots to fill, but I feel like Stalker 2 can do it, and I can't wait.
Yeah, totally. I mean, I know exactly what you mean. Obviously, the first one was a huge hit. Obviously, it cultivated this massive fan base. But like you said, you know, the ambition of the team almost kind of got away from the realities of the tech that they were working with. And, you know, it was well-renowned for its kind of issues and its patches and the things that changed constantly through development. So it's going to be interesting to see how this just kind of like hits out of the gate. We have a few smaller games coming after this. We've got the sequel to A Plague Tale, which is called A Plague Tale Requiem now.
Unexpected.
Unexpected, really cool to see. I thought the cinematic trailer was interesting. A Plague Tale 1, though, whilst I enjoyed it, I didn't get... I don't know why... no one can see this who's listening to this, but I'm waving around a controller like I'm some kind of conductor. I wasn't, like, in love with it. I thought it was very good. Now, Ben Roy's doing it. He's just making me a puppet. I thought it was very good, but I didn't fall head over heels in love with it like I so wanted to.
I can see that, because the first one very much had that B-game jank, and I also felt like it sort of opened weirdly, then got strong. And it's sort of like, imagine the a game of five parts where it was opened a bit weird, and then it got strong, and then it sort of mellowed out a bit, and then it got strong again, and the ending sort of like lost itself a bit. So I feel like that game was also a lot longer than I thought it would be, but the idea of going through that time period and that, like, in France, just with billions of rats everywhere, and the plague is, again, not something you get a lot of in gaming at the moment. And it wasn't a chore to get through that game in certain aspects. The stealth was very early 2000s Splinter Cell, where you get Cena and you're dead, sorry, goodbye, lol, start again. But for me, I'm interested to see what they can do, taking all that criticism on board with a number two. Wasn't expecting number two. Gonna play it because obviously it's Game Pass, and this is Sony losing another sale from me because it's on Game Pass, and I want to play the second one.
Absolutely. I did a big pop for the rat avalanche that kind of opened the trailer with them spilling through the streets like it was the bloody Shining and the elevator doors have opened and the blood have come out. I did enjoy that. But yeah, like you say, you know, it's another one that you can just try now because it's on Game Pass. And we had a few smaller games. Like I said, we had Atomic Heart, which is kind of similar vibe as this like post-apocalyptic first-person shooter thing. I know a lot of people have been waiting on that for a while. That got a new showing. We had Replaced, which was this kind of like gorgeous 2D platformer cyberpunk-y thing, which looked really cool. And we had another look at 12 Minutes, which announced its just mad cast, which has Willem Dafoe in it, which is just awesome. Like this as a concept, if you don't know, it's kind of like a Groundhog Day style where you replay these same 12 minutes leading up to some big event. And yeah, they announced the voice cast, which was just crazy. Again, it's another thing that I think will benefit heavily from being on Game Pass that people can just try. But I suppose one of the bigger ones we should talk about is The Outer Worlds 2, which I definitely didn't expect. And because Obsidian have just so many games on the go. They've got Grow Home, which they're supporting. They've got Avowed, which is a big RPG. And they've announced The Outer Worlds 2 in it with a trailer that I thought was very, very funny.
Yes, because I was actually watching the Giant Bomb stream they're talking about, and they couldn't work out what game it was at first. Like, is this Outer Worlds? And as it was going through, and I was like, but why is this being so... It felt like it was going to show me energy drinks or something at the end. Like, by the way, here's some Doritos and here we go sort of thing. And then when it turned to be Outer Worlds, like, oh, it was. And then it was like, I was expecting some DLC. Like, oh, it's the Outer Worlds 2. Okay, here we go. Yes, because... The Outer Worlds was something that I played on Game Pass, the first one. I think you had it on PlayStation, didn't you? So
yes, I think
but
so.
That was one where I thought I might have missed it that year, but because it was on Game Pass, I was like, you know what? I'll visit 2 a.m. once more and play this game till 2 a.m. And thanks to old Phil playing it on Game Pass. But no, I feel like it's a very... I think we're both the same with the first one. It's a very good sort of like... test case of what they can do. Felt a bit tedious towards the end with the amount of loading screens you have to go through, 7 of them to get to like a quest. But I just give me more, and I want that tone in the game, please.
Yes, totally. I mean, you know, I really enjoyed the first Outer Worlds, but obviously, like you said, there were room for improvement in there. You know, it wasn't quite the RPG that I wanted it to be, wasn't quite the Fallout New Vegas style epic that, you know, I hold every Obsidian RPG up against. But at the same time, it was really good. And I think more importantly, the world that they created, you know, was just so interesting and rich and kind of like complex and funny that I want to spend more time in that universe. I want to spend more time with these characters. I want to see the world fleshed out, and I want to see some of the limitations of the first game. Like you said, the constant loading screens towards the end kind of eliminated, hopefully, with the new hardware. This also, unsurprisingly, considering that Obsidian has been bought by Xbox and Microsoft, is going to be an Xbox exclusive as well, which means it is another reason I'm going to have to buy this machine sooner rather than later. Though I imagine this is going to be quite far off considering the tone of the trailer and how they just said that we've got nothing. We don't even know if these monsters are going to be in the game, but we are working on it. It is coming. I think this was just one for Microsoft to be like, yep, this is, put a pin in this. We're going to be getting to this eventually. This is a reason why you should invest now.
2023, you got a thing, right? You don't want to come out the same year as Starfield.
That's true. You don't want to like cannibalize your own games, and especially when you've got like I said, Obsidian's also making Avowed, which is another RPG, obviously very different settings, but you know, you've got time, you've got a lot. Obviously, you know, this is the funny thing, Ben, right? With the games that we've gone through so far, this is like a fraction of what they showed. We haven't even got to the rest of E3, we haven't even got to the other conferences, and you know, they've just got so much. Like, I'm genuinely impressed by what they've had to show. And before we move on to something completely different though, I do want to talk about what they closed the show with, which was Arkane Austin's new game called Redfall, which is a co-op game, although you can play it single player, open world vampire hunter title. I think that's probably the best way to describe it. We saw this really cool cinematic trailer where we had four heroes battling against a bunch of kind of like supernatural, almost cartoony-esque vampires. And honestly, this did it for me. This was one of my favorite shows of the entire show. I love what Arkane have done in the past. And I thought, I just realized how much I missed games with vampires in them. When I saw this, I was like, yeah, this is what I need. This is what I need in my life. Yeah. I don't know if you're as excited about it as I am, though.
A little sad that there's no rumors of another Prey. I feel like that's just probably just didn't sell enough or something like that. But that, with the Game Pass model, you got to imagine that it could just get another one out there. But Arcane are amazing what they do. Like I will play anything Arcane. I still need to dive properly back into the, the Dishonored games and really get going with them again because they're all on Game Pass. it was a great closer because it was something that we didn't know about, even though I feel like it did clash a bit with Back for Blood, even though this had a more of like a different tone than that. And this seems to be more focused on actual teaming up to take down monsters. Again, like this could change from what we see in the cinematic trailer. But yeah, it's nice to see that it wasn't zombies as well, and it's vampires. And there was a tall vampire lady in it. So I know that, I don't know where that came from. Maybe they were just harping off something else, but it was a great way to close the show.
Yeah, quite literally big boots to fill for that tall vampire lady. Yeah. We do have a final game that we need to talk about. And it was your favorite of the whole showing. It was Forza Horizon 4, Ben Roy. I know you're just absolutely over the moon to see another installment in this franchise.
Well, I just have to say Forza Horizon 5, right? Yeah. What I can compliment it about is it's showing Mexico as not a crime-ridden, war-torn, destroyed part of the world. Like, imagine, like, if you've only watched Sicario and played other games, you just see Mexico like this just must be the one of the worst places in the world just depicted by media. But to see it all like nice and happy and there's some jungles and stuff like that. Yeah. But it's Forza and it's a game with cars and I might play it if it's got Top Gear DLC or Halo DLC.
Hey, I do think you make a good point though. You know, it's such lazy shorthand, especially in movies, that when you cut to Mexico, quote unquote, it's just like the worst visually placed with like a brown, awful filter over the top. It's such a lazy depiction. And yeah, I think this will go a long way in, you know, just showing how diverse the region is. I thought it looked visually beautiful. You know, the Horizon series in general is one that I've kind of like, I've never gotten into, but I've always appreciated it from afar. Like I always thought Forza Horizon 4 looked really lush. And this was another game where I was looking at the potential of getting this Series X as soon as possible and just tallying up what I wanted to play. And you know what? That's quite high up on the list because I thought it looked gorgeous. I thought, you know, it's a series that I just want to give its due. And I feel like, you know, it's a reliable hitter, you know, Forza. A lot of people love it, Ben Roy. I know. I'm trying to convince you here, even though I've not really played it myself. But
I won't download it. I will probably end up playing it once when I go to a friend's because he loves the Forza games for some reason. But I'm just gonna be honest. Fine. Another car game. They're big games, and you need to keep making these big car games because is Gran Turismo ever gonna come out in the next 100 years? So let's go eat Sony's lunch.
I thought they actually tried to have a little dig at Sony, not even necessarily on purpose, but when they were talking about Forza Horizon in the big demo, you know, they kept stressing that this was built from the ground up for next gen, whereas we've just got the news for Gran Turismo that it's going to be a cross-gen release, and apparently that came late in the day, which is, you know, it's going to be interesting to see just kind of like what Sony has in response to this whole showing in general. There are rumors that there's going to be some kind of state of play in a few weeks. You know, that was seemingly teased at Summer Game Fest when we got the Death Stranding director's cut. And Jeff Keighley said, we'll see more about this in the future. That's rumored to be part of that full thing. And before we do a little wrap up, were there any games that I missed off that you desperately want to shout out? Or do you think we've covered most of the Microsoft stuff?
I think we've covered Microsoft really. I can't really think of anything else from that show. There was so much. And there was just so much coming to Game Pass, like, you know, like Yakuza, Like a Dragon coming to Game Pass, but and like Among Us is coming to Game Pass and things like that. But I really want to just jump onto some of these like last ones, I think. So I think we can go to the, are we going to dive on these other ones not in the Microsoft realm, or shall we?
I don't know. I think we probably should, you know, because we've got like a few minutes to spare. And I feel like even though we've focused on Microsoft, the other big game especially was Square Enix obviously announcing Guardians of the Galaxy, which has been long in development. And they finally unveiled it last night with a great big demo. We got a cinematic trailer. We got a bit of a level. And honestly, I didn't expect to have any hopes for this at all after the Avengers. But it looked, for my money, really good. I don't want to get too optimistic about it, but I thought it looked pretty good, man.
Yeah, I hate the feeling that this might be good. Not because I want them to fail or anything, but because I need to see what the menus and how many like leveling systems and currencies are going to be in this before, because this could be great. This could be a lesson they've learned from the Avengers, or it could be, oh, we're too far in. We just got to double down with this horrible system we made for the Avengers. But yeah, it looks, I watched it again earlier and it looks promising and looks like a video game and looks like the vibe you should have got from the Avengers. So good on them for almost making a video game. Like,
almost.
That isn't a way to just nickel and dime you.
I don't know whether it's just kind of like you say, reduced expectations after the Avengers, but I couldn't believe there was actual color. There was actual, like, interesting environments. You know, we saw these alien worlds and all of the different kind of like details that were in there. And I was like, this is cool. Even the character models, I was like, these are cool character models. They
don't look like budget ones like the Avengers did.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't. It wasn't great. It wasn't set in a warehouse. You didn't have, like, yeah, like you say, these budget character models filling in for people that we already know and love. Obviously, to a lot of people, the Guardians of the Galaxy are going to be how they look in the movies. But even with that in mind, I thought, you know, from Star-Lord to Gamora to Drax to Groot to Rocket, whoever, they were all obviously identifiable, but they had their own twist on it. And the fact that it seems like there's been some creativity and some imagination put in there, I thought that was neat. You know, we obviously need to see more. They did confirm that it was going to be a single player only game. I think the idea is that you only play as Star-Lord. They said there was going to be like no microtransactions, no DLC, no battle pass or anything like that. And they also confirmed that it wasn't actually going to be connected to the Avengers or Spider-Man from Sony's stable. It's going to be its own thing by its own developers. And if we can have some kind of clean break from the Avengers and not have a game that follows in our footsteps like this is promising to be, I'm optimistic. I was also optimistic about plenty of other games that failed, but you know, I don't want to go in too pessimistically, but I'm getting there.
I'll wait to see the game before I believe everything they've said. So that's just how I am with it. I just need to, I mean, even if Avengers is presented to me for free, I'm just like,
Well, Benroy, here's the thing. You don't even have to wait that long. This was the big surprise. It's coming out October this year. Like, it's coming out October 26th, I think, 2021.
I didn't know that.
Every single time I say this, I always feel like I've gotten it wrong, but I'm pretty sure I've gotten it right. In fact, I'm going to Google it right now just to make sure I've got it right.
As you do the Googling, I'm just trying to work out how many games are now all coming out at the end of this year, and next year is going to even be more of a bloodbath. It's just like...
Well, it's cool because we've got, like, you know, for the longest time, this kind of like second half of this year was quite vacant. And now I feel like we've got a few things penciled in. You know, yeah, it's 26th of October, 2021. That's when it's coming out. So that month we've got Back for Blood, we've got Guardians, we've got a bunch of other stuff. And ultimately, it's this E3 so far, obviously we've still got some time to go. But it's just got me excited for the rest of the year. I think the biggest winner wasn't just Microsoft, but it was also Game Pass in general. Like, I think if you are not sold on that service right now, I always feel like we like shill it. Like, we don't get paid. We're not like advertised by Game Pass. We just enjoy the service so much. And I feel like if you watch that showing and you're not like convinced that it is definitely just great value, like, I don't know what else would convince you at this point.
I think the first time on this podcast, that was my whole thing. I was like, oh, these Game Pass games I've played, they're really good. And ever since then, I've been the Game Pass person. But yeah, even that Scorn is coming out, that sort of non-Geiger alien thing.
God, yes.
Yeah, there's so much coming out. I think isn't a certain Far Cry game coming out the same sort of month as well?
It is, Far Cry 6.
Ubisoft are also dumping two games at the end of the year. I say dumping. I'm looking forward to both of them because, like, I don't have a secret, but we're both Rainbow Six heads for a long time. Like, both, I don't even know that's a term. I just was trying to think of something to say. the former Quarantine is now being renamed to Extraction. And man, I think they've taken a turn with this because was it always, I don't know, it felt like a bit zombie-ish, but now it's all gone full aliens. And I just want another co-op shooter where I shoot some aliens in that engine because I've fallen out of Rainbow Six Siege over the past year from the console jump. And I just want more, I just want Ash to tell me what to do when I'm going for there with Sledge's hammer. I don't know about you.
No, totally. I fully agree. Like you said, you know, we were big into Rainbow Six Siege, but then we kind of like both dropped off at around the same time for whatever reason. Maybe it was the console changeovers. But one of like the coolest things I thought they did in that game was the limited time mode, which has essentially been fleshed out into this new extraction game, like this full-on release. And I thought that taste was really interesting. I like the incredible Aliens vibes that we're getting for it. Hopefully it's going to be good. Hopefully it's going to kind of like fill that gap. I feel like we're getting a lot of like Alien slash vampire slash zombie co-op shooters this year.
There's Aliens co-op shooter come out this year as well. There's an actual Aliens license one. Remember that, yeah.
There is. So I think in summary, there are a lot of games coming. E3 is still ongoing. We've had a lot of big showings at the moment. And I want you guys to please let us know what you thought of E3. Are you enjoying it? I keep talking about it like it's over. It's not over. There's still plenty of stuff to come. And we'll no doubt do more podcasts and videos on what else is announced when Nintendo, etc., drops their shows. But yeah, let us know on social media, whether it's the What Culture Gaming Twitter or our own personal Twitter accounts. You can find me at Josh Broom with 2 O's, and you can find Ben Roy at
Ben Roy Turner. And this game, let us know this podcast is only on Game Pass.
This podcast is, we're not sponsored. We're not at all sponsored by Game Pass. Yeah, let us know what you thought about Microsoft's conference in particular and which games you were looking forward to. Until then, though, I've been Josh, joined by Ben Roy. This has been the What Culture Gaming podcast, and we will see you soon.
Phil, where's my check?
Lost in the mail, mate. Lost in the mail.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.